The Beat Podcast is brought to you by Nutritia and is designed for healthcare professionals only. In this mini-series, we have partnered with Feel Good, human health and performance experts who transform science into practical, real-life solutions. You will hear from experts in psychology, nutrition, mental health, sleep, movement, and more. This podcast is all about you, whether that be on your lunch break, on your commute, or simply when you need to get moving. Take a moment for yourself and learn on the move.
We all make plans, we have goals and dreams. We create targets and aim forward with full steam. But even when we have the best intentions and carefully scripted action plans, stress, anxiety, pressures often still make their way in. No amount of planning can stop the unexpected from happening. We don't know what will come to shake our ground. Good or bad, change is imminent and it is emotional. We can rationalize our way through change and unexpected obstacles, but we often cannot control how our physical and emotional bodies react. This is where emotional agility comes in. Today, joining us is Danielle Haig. Danielle is an organizational psychologist and coach working with senior leaders and CEOs on a constant basis to help them in managing not just their minds, but their emotions when things don't go to plan. On top of that, she is working with different teams and organizations to help them develop better emotional agility in their day-to-day interactions with their colleagues, in their personal relationships, and when the unexpected comes in. Welcome, Dani. Welcome to our podcast. How are you today?
Hello. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good as well. So should we just go straight in?
Yes, absolutely.
Great. So from your experience in working with individuals at every ladder on the ladder in your in different organizations, what is emotional agility and why is it important in today's world?
That is a very good question. What is emotional agility? Well, emotional agility is basically your ability to kind of understand and accept all emotions, whether you consider them to be positive or negative, and kind of own them. You understand your emotions, you take ownership of them, because when you do that, you stop your emotions from taking ownership of you. So it's a form of understanding emotions and thereby controlling them. And I mean, it's an extraordinarily useful skill. I mean, I personally have found it transformed my life when I developed emotional agility for myself. I used to very much be owned by my emotions, and life was very much a roller coaster because of it. And by taking control and understanding your emotions and harnessing them, so to speak, you start to be in control of life a lot more as well. But more than that, it also means within an organizational context, it means that you can be a better employee. It means that you're a better colleague and indeed a better leader as well. Now, why do we need it in today's world? Well, there's a lot going on. I think it's fair for us to say, no matter where you're living in the world, we can acknowledge that there is a lot happening around the world. Obviously, the fallout from COVID, there's political upheaval, there's war, economic, so on and so forth. We are all feeling quite a lot right now, whether that's fear, whether it's boredom, whether it's grief, whether it's confusion. And consequently, there's a huge demand on people. And that demand on people is also puts a strain on organizations as well, in order for us to be agile so that we can face all these disruptions and carry on. And a lot of that begins with emotional agility. So it's really essential that we learn how to regulate our emotions so we don't get overwhelmed and we don't become emotionally exhausted when we're going through such intense ups and downs.
So can you give us a few examples of how we can do that and how we can work with our emotions, both when we have big ups and lows, but also when we can't recognize our emotions, when we're maybe not in touch with them, so we're quite and not feeling much.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that a lot of my clients, a lot of my friends, a lot of people that I work with, speak with generally, everyone seems to be feeling this sense of meh at the moment. And I think that is because we're all quite emotionally drained. I think all of these external ups and downs that we've just spoken about, they're having an impact on us. And I think we have to start with a sense of compassion at this point. I think we need to be compassionate for ourselves and also compassionate towards other people. So when we are feeling a bit meh, we need a bit of a timeout. We need to kind of give ourselves a bit of a break, you know, by putting additional pressure on ourselves in order, you know, we should be feeling this and I should be doing that. Actually, that's just depleting us even more. We need to slow down. We need to start getting back in touch with ourselves, understanding our emotions, understanding why we might be feeling the way that we are, so that we give ourselves the chance to recoup and recover that emotional energy.
So can you give us a few examples of how we can actually do that? Sometimes it's easy to work with our minds, control our thoughts, but emotions are so ambiguous. How do we actually, what do you do to create this emotional agility?
Absolutely. Well, I think the first step, first of all, is to realize that your emotions are not real. You know, you can think something, you can feel something, but it doesn't mean it's a reality. And once you realize that, you realize you don't have to act on it. Actually, by feeling an emotion and saying to yourself, okay, I wonder where this comes from. I wonder what that is. And not responding to it and not reacting and allowing it to take control. As I said earlier, it's about this understanding your emotions and thereby controlling them instead of being controlled by them. We use something in ACT, Therapy Act, where we use something called defusion. So it's D-E-F-U-S-I-O-N, defusion, not diffusion like a candle. Defusion, whereby you have a feeling and you act as if you are your own kind of interrogator. And I call this taking your thoughts to court. So it's like taking your feelings to court. And you take a moment and you question and you say to yourself, where is this emotion come from? And when we're doing that, we have to use something called the show up and step out system. So first of all, you show up. You're courageous. You're facing these emotions, even the most difficult ones. And sometimes that can be difficult. So give yourself time. Give yourself the space to question these thoughts. Have self-compassion and the patience for your feelings, probably the way you do for other people in your life. Give yourself that patience and that compassion as well. And then be curious. So this is when we take our thoughts to court. We get curious. We want to understand, what is this emotion telling me? Because an emotion is a signal. It's a signal for behavior. It's not something to be acted upon. It's something to be thought about. So, for example, if you are feeling resentful, for example, actually, what that feeling is telling you, I mean, we've all probably felt resentful at some point. Andrea, have you ever felt resentful towards a situation or a person before? I'm guessing you probably have.
Let's not talk about that now.
So you probably felt resentful at some point. And what that emotion is really telling you is that you don't have enough boundaries in place. So you're feeling resentful because you're giving too much of yourself and not getting enough back. So whether that's, maybe putting in so many hours at work and you see your colleague, you know, arriving at 9, leaving at 5 and you're getting there early and leaving late. And you think, well, why am I doing this and they're not doing that? Or maybe, you know, you're always picking up the coffee bill, or maybe you're spending all your weekends looking after your nieces and nephews and never get any time for yourself. So what that's telling you is you need boundaries. You need to say yes to yourself and no to others. So that's just one example of understanding that and never get any time for yourself. So what that's telling you is you need boundaries. You need to say yes to yourself and no to others. So that's just one example of understanding that an emotion is a signal. You have to be able to sit with it and work out what it is. So understanding this courage, this compassion and curiosity, and sometimes that really helps us. And then step two is stepping out. So that's seeing your emotions for what they are. Emotions, not facts. They're not real. They're not a reality. And learning to label them. So, for example, if you're feeling an emotion, it's really important to say, instead of I am afraid, I am feeling afraid. Because your emotion doesn't define who you are as a person. And it helps that detachment from realizing that, you know, this emotion doesn't define who you are. You're not an angry person. You're someone who is feeling anger. And so by detaching that emotion from us, it helps us kind of analyze it and get curious about it more meaningfully. So they're the two key steps. So showing up with courage, compassion, curiosity, and then stepping out. So that's like that. It's a signal to stop, think, and work out what it's telling you to do.
Exactly. Emotions are data telling us something that we need to pay more attention to, maybe. But if we are to ground this into our day-to-day reality, when we are busy, we are at work, and we keep on maybe being resentful and the situation keeps on happening and there's loads of emotions being built up, then how can we calm down quickly and have this emotional agility in those moments when they matter?
Well, I think that by, first of all, acknowledging that you're going through this pattern of behavior, because, well, these patterns of emotions, you're quite right. It's this data, an emotion is data that's telling you something almost, subconsciously, that your needs are not being met in one way or another. So say, for example, it is frustration, it's anger, it's sadness, it's resentment, whatever it might be. Acknowledging it is the first step. So you're understanding yourself. You're learning to understand that something isn't quite right. Say, for example, on a day-to-day basis, you need to calm down quickly. I like to take a stock of what might be going on. So I like to park feelings or park ideas. The way that I do that is I simply jot it down on a post-it note or in a pad and a notepad or a reflection pad or something like that, whereby I'm parking that emotion. I'll say, you know, I'm feeling resentful about X, Y, and Z. I'm going to come back to it. I'm going to address it. But maybe there isn't time in the middle of an important meeting or so on and so forth in order to sit and have that moment of reflection. So actually parking it, working out, how did I feel that way? What was going on? Then at the end of the day, spending some time reflecting on these things, working out where is the pattern of these kind of emotional triggers, what is going on that's making me feel that way? And then you can get really curious and you get to the root cause. You can start adjusting your behavior accordingly, maybe having conversations, whatever it is that you have to do. But it gives you that time to park the emotions. You know you're going to get to them, but once they're parked, you can carry on with your day. And then you can get to it at a later point. But make sure you don't forget. Make sure you do pay that attention, even if it's difficult, even if it's uncomfortable. Because, you know, nothing changes if nothing changes. The patterns will continue if you don't address them.
Exactly. It's so important to not just take the time then in the moment to create that space between our emotion and our reaction, but later on to come back to it, to look at our patterns, to understand, okay, why is this happening again? What's happening outside of me? What's annoying me, let's say, in this particular situation? Or what is triggering me? And how can I change this? Because if most likely what's happening outside of us will not change. And as you said, it means that something has to come from us. Talking about that, if let's say there have been many external circumstances that have put a lot of emotional load on us, let's say the financial crisis, for example, and we find ourselves more and more stressed. And rationally, let's say we know we'll be okay, but emotionally we can't calm ourselves down. What can we do then? How can we use emotional agility in those moments?
Well, first of all, you have to understand it's really normal to feel like this emotional drain or have emotional responses to things, external stimuli. I mean, for example, the financial situation. I think the whole world is going through some kind of financial trauma of some kind. So it's normal to feel like that. And I think that unified human, normal human response is really important to recognize that. Take the pressure off yourself by understanding you are responding in a very normal way. So what you can do is when you're feeling maybe overwhelmed with these emotions due to, you know, a negative external circumstance is, first of all, acknowledging. Then you've got to have some patience with yourself. You know, you're going to feel emotional if something impacts you negatively. And then you have to think about, well, I always recommend write down what's upsetting you. Then you write down, what can I control in this situation? What is within my control? We cannot control global economy just on our own, but we can control our behavior towards our finances, towards our money. We can think about what we're doing with our savings or making sure we have savings or so on and so forth. So actually thinking logically, what do I have control over? So then every time that you feel a bit overwhelmed by something, perhaps preparing a mantra and thinking, okay, I cannot control the global economy, but I feel in control of my finances. And just reminding yourself of something like that can really calm down those emotions and remind you of what you are in control of. And of course, additional support if you need it. So if you need to reach out to a coach or if you need to reach out to a therapist or to maybe a more practical support system, maybe having conversations with your partners, your friends, family, so on and so forth. But making yourself realize that you're supported, you're heard, you're understood, what you're feeling is very normal, and preparing yourself. And again, using that step out two-part routine that we mentioned earlier when it comes to understanding your emotions.
Yes, focusing on what you can control and planning are so important. I know if I'm overwhelmed at work and I recognize, oh, I'm being a bit emotional in this situation with all these deadlines, what I can do that helps me regulate it the best is take some time and just plan it, discuss it with the team and really make an action plan, seeing it all written down, even though maybe someone else has done that, but me focusing on what I can control really helps me come back to myself and then be very rational in how I do work from then on.
Absolutely. And in fact, I use something similar myself only today. I, you know, work like all of us. There's a lot of work going on. It's the summer here in the UK, trying to, you know, have fun, but also work hard and do all of those things. And obviously we get and everything that's going on around us as well externally. There is, you know, cause for emotional drain. And this morning I woke up and I thought, oh, goodness me, I've got so much work to do today. How am I going to get through it all? And then I thought, actually, I've planned my day ahead. I know what I've got coming up. I'm going to give it the best that I can, and I'm going to really enjoy the day. You know, this is something to enjoy, to cherish, to, you know, be able to speak to so many people to and remind myself of all the positive things. And that's a choice. You know, every day we choose our emotions, we choose our responses to the to what's going on around us. And if you give yourself that kind of reminder, you have a choice. Am I going to, you know, wake up? Am I going to choose happiness? Am I going to choose optimism, positivity, which are all emotions and mindsets? Or am I going to be defeated by this and hand my emotions over to others? You know, stressful colleagues and partners and friends and family and all of that kind of thing. It's a choice. A difficult one, but it's a choice.
It is a choice. But as you just mentioned, what if I do my homework, but I have a few colleagues or maybe family members who are quite reactive, that I feel like they don't respect my boundaries. And then I come back and regulate myself and I'm trying to have a growth mindset, think about how, what I can control, but it keeps on coming back. My boundaries is not respected by this colleague. And of course, it's going to make me reactive again. What do you do in those situations?
Well, one thing that I learned when I trained as a therapist, and I find is one of the most empowering realizations of humanity, I suppose, is you are only responsible for your own emotions. You know, it's hard going controlling your emotions, taking time to understand them, reflect on them, be understanding of others, so on and so forth. But actually, if someone else is not responding to your boundaries, you know, getting angry by that might seem like a normal response, but you're kind of wasting your emotional energy by doing that. I know it can be frustrating, but say, for example, in that particular situation, you have to keep reiterating it. Or if you're feeling frustrated and angry, that's probably because you feel like you're not being heard. That's generally what anger and frustration is. I feel I'm not being heard. My needs are not being met. So perhaps it means taking a step back and thinking, I wonder why this person still doesn't understand me. Perhaps I need to approach this conversation in a different way. Perhaps I need to say something different. Perhaps I need to ask more questions. Maybe I need to sit down and have a conversation with them. So instead of emotionally responding, you're best to, again, take that step back and think, well, I'm not responsible for that person's thoughts, feelings, emotions. I'm only responsible for my own. So if they're not understanding me, what can I do in this situation to make it better? Adjust your behavior in order to make it clear what your boundaries are. But by giving in, you're just going to end up going through the same patterns over and over again. So it's really just about looking at the problem from a different perspective, using logic as opposed to emotion.
Yeah, I agree. When we are reactive, we need to take a step back and be a bit more logical. But funny enough, I've also noticed logic being used to prove an argument when we are in fact very emotional. So when we are over logical and rational, maybe even then it's time to take a step back and be, am I being very emotional and reactive now, or am I really using my logic and rationality, or am I just having an argument? But to take a step back, I do wonder whether there are times when it's best to maybe just not listen to our emotions, when our emotions are wrong. So, you know, for example, if you have a racist person going down the street and they pass a person of color and they get very angry, is there a moment when we say that they shouldn't listen to their emotions blindly? That in that context, if they consider emotions as information, they may just look for more reasons to prove that they are angry, or how do they really understand what their emotions are signaling?
Well, I mean, actually, I think that's quite the way that I would actually interpret that would be. So say, for example, someone, a racist person walks past and they get angry, and that anger stems from fear, as you say. I actually think that's really useful data, because you need to understand, like, what are you scared of? What is it that's making you scared? And actually understanding, where does that come from? Is it a fear of, I don't know, like whatever it is that I couldn't possibly know, because I don't know what it's like to feel like that. But it's actually just kind of like understanding. I think emotions are far more intelligent than we realize. And an emotion is telling you something that isn't necessarily at the front of your mind. It's almost like it's sitting dormant in your mind, and it's not being addressed. Some need is not being met, which is why you're feeling some emotion. And I think that actually they're all useful to analyze. I don't think any emotion is unuseful. I think that they're all signals. They're great. They're really good ways of helping us to understand ourselves in a deeper way. So I don't necessarily agree with that so much. I think that they're good.
That makes sense, actually. Exactly. But it's about, we need to have better questions to use to understand our emotions, because oftentimes we feel something and then we jump to a conclusion rather than taking the time to ask ourselves, as you mentioned earlier, what is this emotion signaling? What is this saying about some needs that I may have? Rather than, I'm angry, it's you. I'm frustrated, it's you. I'm sad, it's me.
Well, the biggest aha moment for me is when I realized that emotions are neither good nor bad. Like, we've just completely created this man-made construct that emotions are positive or negative, when actually they're just emotions. And by chasing any emotion, so if you end up chasing good emotions, in inverted commas, then you're controlled by those emotions. If you run from bad emotions, you're also controlled by those. So by seeing emotions as a neutral signal, that allows us to take control of them, rather than labeling them good or bad. And either way, by having that good or bad, that binary kind of concept of emotions, it means that they are in control of you. Whereas if you have control over your emotions, you don't get scared by them. You get curious about them.
That is true. And I like that, not having that, opinion of good or bad and just chasing the good emotions and then ending up in toxic positivity and lying to yourself at the end of the day, not allowing yourself to really understand your needs and confronting what may be a root cause for some more pain that will come later.
Well, absolutely. And also, we normally, if we chase those emotions, normally they're attached to someone or something. So, for example, say you're chasing the happiness that you feel when you're with someone, then that person also has control over you as well. And when that emotion maybe is not met and that need is not met, because that person then, you know, might become redundant to you. Whereas, you know, that's not necessarily a healthy way to have any form of relationship whatsoever. So it's really important to understand neutrality when it comes to your emotions, and you have to control them. And that comes back to an internal locus of control, which is why emotional agility is a huge element of mental resilience. So emotions are really interesting in that they are neither good nor bad. They are signals. They are telling us something deeper within us has resurfaced or surfaced, and it's giving us a signal to respond. So let me talk you through a couple of emotions that we've all felt at some point, and maybe felt controlled by, when actually, if you understand the deeper meaning behind the emotions, or take a pause and time to reflect on what they actually mean, or might mean for you, you can start to harness and control them. So anger, a common emotion. We've all probably felt angry at some point. If you reflect on the last time that you felt angry, you probably felt blocked in some way or restricted. Blocks from, or maybe an obstacle to help you reach a desired outcome or achieve something you want to achieve. So it could be that you feel unheard. You might feel that you are being restricted. What is happening is you're creating this sense of anger that you kind of project onto someone else or something else, when actually what you really need to do is create space. That is what anger is telling you. Anger is telling you, I need to withdraw from this situation, from this person, and I need to reflect. I need to work out why I feel restricted by this particular conversation, by this behavior, by this person, by this action, whatever it might be. And then you need to apply logic and think, how can I make myself heard? How can I provide clarity on this topic? So if you're feeling anger, that you don't have to act upon it. Actually, what you need to do is withdraw from it. So you need to withdraw from the situation. That is what the signal of anger is. Sadness. Now, sadness is a really curious emotion, because most of us fear feeling sad. We don't want to feel sad. When actually, sadness is almost a signal telling you that you are ready to feel the emotion of letting go. So if you think about the grieving process, it could be grieving a loved one, it could be a relationship, it could be a job, it could be a time in your life, it could be anything. We can grieve anything that we no longer have. Now, if you think about it, quite often when we suddenly lost something or someone or that we love, we feel nothing for a while. We almost feel, we feel empty, we feel hollow, we feel no emotion. But actually, sadness is telling you that you are strong enough. It's a signal to tell you that you're strong enough to absorb and understand what has happened, what you're grieving, and to allow you to move on. So actually, sadness is, it's curious, we misinterpret sadness quite often. But if you perceive it as a signal for your moving on from a situation or someone, and actually it's quite a liberating emotion. Now, fear in its most primal state. So say, for example, your neighbor's Rottweiler is running after you. Very normal to be fearful of that situation. However, we feel fear about lots of different things. We can feel fear about things that aren't actual threats. So we can feel a fear of failure. We can feel a fear of sadness, a fear of pain, a fear of all sorts of different things. And it means that we withdraw from whatever that experience or whatever it might be. We're moving from it. We're fearing it, so we remove ourselves from it. But actually, for me, I think fear is a signal telling you to move forward towards that opportunity, towards that conversation, towards that situation. Not the Rottweiler's, the neighbor's Rottweiler, obviously, but actually fear is telling you that is what you really want to achieve. So say, for example, you really want to go for that promotion, but you don't apply for the position because you're scared you won't get it. Why are you scared? You're scared because you really want it. So use fear to propel you forward to achieve what it is that you want. And then jealousy. Now, we've all felt the green-eyed monster once upon in our lives. And jealousy is a really horrible emotion to feel, you know, when you feel that feeling inside of you of essentially feeling like you're lacking. There's something that someone else has or does that you want. And it makes you feel very uncomfortable and it makes you feel less or lacking. What I do is, and I've felt this emotion, not so much recently because I've really worked hard in delving into this, but there was a pivotal moment in my life when I felt jealousy towards someone else. And actually I sat down and I reflected on it, as I generally do when I have a very strong emotion. And I sat and I reflected on it and I worked out that I was jealous of someone else, not because of what they were doing, but because it reminded me of something that I also wanted to do. And I used that time to sit and reflect on what am I missing from my life that I also would like. So I used that emotion then to propel me. And that is also why I then went on to study my PhD, because it reminded me when someone else was propelling and moving forward in their career and with their academics, it reminded me that I also had a desire to reach a certain academic state. So actually using jealousy as a time to reflect, what do I need more of? What do I want to change in my life? And enable it to, again, propel you forward to achieve what you want to achieve.
Oh, it's such a big topic, and especially if we go and start looking closer at relationships. But given that we're short on time, what is the one thing you would have liked to know more about emotional agility earlier in life that really impacted you?
Well, gosh, there's so much. I think it's such a big topic. And it genuinely did transform my life when I was learning about this as a psychotherapist. I think it has to be, for me, the biggest life changer has to be my emotions and my responsibility and no one else's. I think that it sounds quite scary and it sounds, you know, daunting if you've never thought about it before. But it's actually incredibly empowering. You know, to have accountability for your emotions, to take ownership of them, to realize that no one can make you unhappy or angry or scared or frustrated unless you allow them to. So that in itself is so incredibly empowering. And it also means that you can start to control your emotions more. And it gives you that emotional agility. It improves your relationships with others, your relationship with yourself. And just generally your interaction with life. So for me, that's definitely the most fundamental lesson that I learned about emotions. And I wish I'd known that when I was younger.
Yeah, I think for me, it's okay that I can't control my emotion. I know that in certain situations, I will react quite strongly. And that's okay to take off the blame that I was putting on me when I was feeling, let's say, for example, very low on energy on some days, very tired or very reactive, and it's okay. A few days per month, I know I will be quite low. That's just a rhythm that I have, and I'll be kind with myself. Or I know, yeah, being less controlling sometimes if I'm anxious, kind of allowing myself to process that emotion until the end and then to bounce back and accepting that sometimes I won't have that much control. But I know from my past experience that I always bounce back. And in that way, I started to enjoy both the, not the good and bad emotions, but both the emotions that make me feel better or feel more drained.
Absolutely. I think that's a really good point that we need, you know, we are humans at the end of the day. Feeling emotions and the broad spectrum of emotions that we are capable of feeling is such a wonderful kind of human attribute. So to be able to feel that broad spectrum, allow yourself to, you know, it's what is something so unique about being a human is to embrace all of those different emotions, no matter how they might make you feel. And we're not robots, you know, you're absolutely right. We're not going to be able to harness our emotions all the time. You know, life would be pretty boring if we all did all the time. And, you know, we are going to feel emotions. I think you're absolutely right. Just because you've reacted or responded to something doesn't mean that there's no space for analysis. It doesn't mean there's space for learning and growing within that response. I think you're absolutely right.
Well, thank you very much, Dani, for today. There have been so many good insights, and I hope everyone got something very practical that they can go and take away.
To keep up to date with future episodes of the Beat Podcast from Nutritia, make sure you subscribe on whichever platform you listen to your podcasts on. For more updates on the show, as well as lots of other educational content from Nutritia, sign up to our newsletter at www.nutritia.co.uk.